Chapter 10 tonight. A familiar passage of scripture to many of you. This is where Jesus comes into the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Now, they were brothers and sisters, as many of you know. They were Bethany. They lived in Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus loved them, but he loves you too. And somebody said, well, he must love them more than he loved others because he come in their home. Well, it may have been because Jesus was invited into their home, and maybe he was welcomed into their home, and maybe they loved him more than others people loved him. You know, the Bible says if we draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto us. And so sometimes we look and we say, well, why does God seem to be close to that one or intervene for that one? And sometimes it may be because they draw nigh and you don't. He loves us all, and he loves us all the same, but he has a special love that he shows, and he's able to exemplify some of his love whenever we open the door to allow him to do that. And so anyway, we find that they came to the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now, this was, those of you who may not know, this was the same Lazarus that you get over in John, that he was resurrected. And in chapter 10, chapter 11, he died. And Jesus came 4 days later after the Jews believed that the soul had departed and no one could ever be resurrected in that situation. And even Martha, whenever Jesus walked on the scene there, she criticized Jesus and told him that had he been there sooner, her brother Lazarus would not have had to die. Now, you can tell by Martha, we're going to get into that just a little bit, but you can tell that Martha, I have no doubt she loved the Lord. We'll talk about that in a moment, but she approached things differently than Mary did. And so, whenever they told Mary that Jesus come, instead of her running and blaming Jesus for the death of her brother, she came and she fell at his feet. 3 times you find Mary, and all 3 times she's at the feet of Jesus. And so you learn a lot from that. Now Lazarus, he did die, but you know the story how that Jesus called him and he came back out of the tomb and he resurrected from the dead. Amen. Now, the Jews in chapter 12, the religious leaders wanted to kill him because of his testimony. Too many people was believing because they seen Lazarus resurrected from the dead. And so they wanted to kill him again to destroy that testimony. Isn't it terrible the extent that some people will go? You know, it's amazing, and I know sometimes you probably get tired of it, but I get tired of looking at it and seeing it. But the hypocrisy in Washington, they'll lie, cheat, steal, do everything they can just to find an excuse to try to find somebody that they can blame somebody for a little something that don't amount to a hill of beans. But anyway, that's the way the religious leaders were. They took no thought about Jesus and what he was doing and who he was. As a matter of fact, Nicodemus testified that they knew he was of God, yet they still wanted to destroy him and destroyed anyone else who had anything to do with him. And so it's sad that people get to that point that they hate someone so bad that anybody has any association with that person, they hate them as bad. But again, we see that in Washington too, don't we? Now look, if you would, in Luke chapter 10, beginning reading with me, verse number 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet
and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. Now the word careful there in verse number 41, it means to be worried or be anxious. And so she was careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, let me say a couple things, and I want to get in just a message and share with you a thought or two that I hope will help you. There's a lot of people, or first let me say this. Salvation is something that you can never take away from a person. Salvation is a relationship, and it is a relationship that you have with God. And so therefore, when you become a son of God, you will always be a son of God. I'll use Brother Junior's situation as an example. Now, Brother Junior, his son lives in California, and his wife was afraid of flying, and so he hadn't seen him for some time. He hadn't seen his grandson since he'd been born, but he's still his grandson. He's still his son. He has that relationship, even though they haven't had fellowship. Now, fellowship, to have fellowship, you have to spend time with someone. To have fellowship, you have to commune with someone. To have fellowship, you have to have a relationship, but then you also have to have the time and energy that you put in to fellowship with one another. Amen. Now, here we find two sisters. You'll find that they were different in their focus. One was focused on serving. The other was focused on sitting. Now, the one that was serving was cumbered. The word cumbered means to be troubled, to be burdened, to be distracted. In other words, she was all tore up that she was serving. The other one that was sitting, she was content. She found contentment where she was at. So they had a different focus. One wanted to be close to Jesus, and the other one wanted to serve and serve Jesus. Now, the second thing you find is they had a different fellowship. Martha was so busy going and working that she didn't have time to sit and listen and have a fellowship with Jesus. And yet Mary was sitting there spending time listening to what Jesus said and grabbing on to every word he said. So they had a different fellowship. They also had a difference in feelings. Mary was being blessed. Martha was being burdened. Now listen to me a moment. As a matter of fact, I was thinking of Misty when I was getting ready. There used to be an evangelist come to our house, and he called Chris Martha, because every time he comes, she'd always be cooking and cleaning and serving and doing those things. And he used to always call her Martha. I guess probably still does when he sees her. But I was thinking about Misty. Every time she's around, she's busy doing something. And she comes to school over there, and she cleans, and she does this, and she does that. She's always busy. But what happens sometimes is we get so busy. We have things just build up on us. All of us. We get so busy with doing things, serving, that instead of being a blessing to do things for God, it becomes a burden to do things for God. Now, think about this just a moment and picture yourself. How many of us get so caught up in doing things that it takes us away from spending time with the Lord. And we think that we have to have things and do things, but yet we find that we realize and right in the middle of it, and listen, let me say this about Martha. I believe Martha loved the Lord. I believe Martha wanted to serve the Lord. I believe Martha was trying to meet the needs that she thought the Lord had. And so there she was cooking. And cooking for him, disciples, and all the ones that had come in. And she was busy running here and there and trying to get everything set up, get everything ready. Some of you ladies know how that is. Someone one time phrase said, a woman's work is never done. And if you've ever had a mother that cooks, when you have a lot of company, you'll find out that someone is cumbered around because what they only cook, but they serve, then they clean up. And it gets to be a job. And I know mom, bless her heart, my dad used to, back years ago, many of you remember, on Sundays, nothing was open. And so what happened was you just went home with different people. And dad, bless his heart, he was bad to just say, "Yeah, all you all just come on home. We'll eat." And Chris, mom said, "Bill, I didn't have nothing prepared." "Oh, that's okay." Well, it wasn't okay with her, but it was okay with him because he's going to go sit down on the couch and talk to him. But she's the one who had to cumbered about to go find something fixed and to cook everything, prepare everything. And then it was left up to her to clean up after it was all over with. And so I can understand Martha and her situation. But sometimes we get doing things, even doing for the Lord. And she was doing it for the Lord. She thought she was meeting a need for the Lord. But instead of being happy, she lost her joy. It became a burden to her. She got distracted because she got looking. And what happens sometimes is she got looking and she said, "Why am I doing it?" Mary's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And so she was sitting there and she was upset. And you know, I can't blame her. There's some times when I get upset. I know one time I got in an argument with someone. I didn't mean to get in an argument, but it ended up being an argument. I told the ball team. They would come in and we had to rent gyms and we would play and everybody jump in and go head on home. Well, there'd be two or three of us stay behind, and guess what? We'd spend an hour and a half mopping, cleaning toilets, picking up this, picking up that, setting chairs up, back up, putting the tables back up. And I said, "Forget this. If the kids are going to come and enjoy it, then they're going to come help clean up when it's over with." And I told them, I said, "Listen, nobody leaves until all the chairs are put up and everything's put up. You all help clean up. We can clean up in 15 minutes with all of you, or several of us got to stay here for 2 hours and clean up." And so, sure enough, everybody had started except one person. Well, they wanted to leave because they wanted to go watch a UK ball game. Well, I'd like to see the UK ball game myself. But I could have saw it had everybody stayed and cleaned up. And I told him, I said, "He needs to come back down here and clean." And they got all upset about it. But you know what? I mean, I can understand Martha's point of view, because I didn't feel it was right to ask three or four of the guys and girls to stay and clean up, and two or three of them just walk off and leave it. And there's some of them that would do it and never bat an eye and never turn around, never say boo-hoo about it, and could care less that they never cleaned anything up, if you let them. And so anyway, I could understand Martha. But here she was, and she came to the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 40, she said, "Lord, dost thou not thou care that my sister had left me to serve alone?" But now, first of all, I want you to notice something else up there. It says she was cumbered about much serving. Not she was covered with it, but she's covered about it. In other words, she was upset. She was distracted because she was having to do it. And then she come and she told the Lord, she said, "Don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? I bid her therefore to come, that she help me." In other words, she said, "Why don't you tell her?" But see, she was talking to the one that just recently had took five loaves and two fishes and fed 5,000 men and children and women.
Amen.
He didn't need Martha.
Amen.
To do all that. And by the way, he didn't need a big elaborate meal. She probably felt like some of you all have been. I've come to your house and you come to my house and Chris will have all this laid out. Sometimes she said, "I don't know why I'm going to fix for the kids. We have the kids and grandkids on Sunday dinner." She said, "I don't know why I'm going to fix." I said, "Bologna sandwiches." And she said, "I'm not going to do that." And she wants to do a spread. But I said, "Listen, you know, Jesus and them could have come, and as far as eating, they could have took a piece of bread and a piece of meat and ate and did some other things. But Martha here, she was so caught up in that. And so here she come to Jesus thinking that Jesus would be on her side because Mary wasn't there. And so what happened was, Jesus said unto her in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." In other words, she was getting upset and troubled and anxious about way too many things. And can I say this? And you ladies, especially, remember, listen to me. Many of you have a great burden on you, especially those of you who have taken children and tried to raise them on their own. That's a hard job. And it's hard when, and several of you have done that for periods of time in your life. And it's not been easy when one spouse leaves you and you have to pick up the pieces and you have to try to be everything to those children and provide for those children and do those things. And if you're not careful, it affects you. You wear yourself out. You wear yourself down. You get where stress, and by the way, stress is the number one killer in America. Did you know that? More medication is given because of stress than anything else in America. The reason why is we stress ourselves out. And we think that we have to do all this, and we think we have to go all this, and we think we have to keep busy all doing all these things to entertain. But you know what? You know what used to create loving families? When we were growing up, we didn't have any money. Mom and Dad didn't have much money. What created the love was the time. And some people come over to the house, mom and them's house still yet, and they talk about the family. The thing is, the family spent time together. They fellowshiped together. They loved one another. Does that mean everybody was perfect? No. Does that mean you always got along? No. But you just got beyond it. You were family. You love one another. You've got to, and see, we've got this idea today that we've got to give, and everybody's got to have the biggest and best and expensive and this and that, and we kill ourselves and we beat ourselves to death, and then we wake up someday and we don't even know our own families because we spend no time with them. And Jesus looked at Martha and said, "Martha, you are so anxious about the wrong things. You're tearing yourself up. It wasn't big upon us that you serve us a big old meal. That wasn't my priority when I come in your house." Now, Martha thought it was. And she was killing herself and beating herself to death trying to get this all done for him and the disciples, and thinking that she had to make all this, and she was so tore up about it, she couldn't even enjoy the presence of the Lord. And notice what Jesus said in verse 42. He said, "But one thing is needful."
And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Did you ever notice that everybody that got right with Jesus, remember the guy that was cutting himself in the tombs and they thought was so crazy that nobody could do anything with? You know where they found him when they come back? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. You remember the woman, the prostitute in Luke chapter 7 that went in Simon's house and he got all upset because she was weeping and wiping Jesus' feet with her hair? Remember that? You know where you found her? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And here, notice here that Jesus told Martha, said, Mary has done that thing that's needful. Now, why was it needful? Number one, listen. You got to take, those of you who has a relationship with the Lord, you have to take time to spend with the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
When you get with the Lord, let me give you four things and I'll close. When you get with the Lord, you forget all your troubles. Did you ever think about that? How many of you have ever got alone with the Lord and been going through something or having something and or either come to church and the Lord just visited you and gave you something and you left and you just felt like a different person when you left. The load was taken off of you. You see, it's needful to get with the Lord because when you get with the Lord, you forget all your troubles and cares. And all of that, you also have someone to cast them on. Isn't it good to be able to cast them on somebody that can do whatever he wants to do with those things? Now, if Doris had come to me and told me Misty's in the hospital and she's had a heart attack, there's very, very little I could do. I could go up there, I could hold her hand. I could go up there and I could take her a bouquet of roses. But I could do very little to help her. But God can touch her body. God can heal her. God can correct whatever issues there is. And so here we have someone. It's important that we learn. And by the way, let me say this. It's important that the jobs that we do around here, and I appreciate everything that people does, and those things are needful, but I don't want you to do them to the degree where you get burdened with them and you're not being blessed. You've got to spend some time with the Lord to be blessed, folks. You can either be like Martha, you can be defeated, distracted, or you can get devoted. Burdened or blessed. Now, not only that, but when we get with the Lord, he feeds our soul. Now listen to me. Every one of us who are saved, we're on a journey. We need strength for the journey. Our strength comes from the Word of God. When you're never feeding and you're taking no milk, have you ever seen anybody that didn't eat? Do you know what happens to that body when you don't eat? You've got to have fuel for your body. If you don't have fuel, you can't go. And what happens is when you starve your body of food and you become malnutrition, then your body suffers in so many ways. And then you suffer because there's so many things you can't do. The same thing happens when you starve yourself from the Word of God. If you never spend any time listening to the Word of God and getting alone, have you ever seen anybody that just quit church, says they're saved? Have you ever seen a big difference come upon them? Their actions, how they do, what they do. We need strength for the journey. And so it's not only important that you get to the Lord because you can forget your cares, but you also get fed in your souls. And it's so necessary to have our souls fed. The third thing I thought about was this. It helps us focus on our priorities.
Did you know when you get with God, He changes your priorities? And you begin to focus on what's really important. How many times we get distracted? I remember I used to visit this one guy, and he lived pretty close to a church where I was at, and I'd go out on visitation, I'd visit him. And he worked every day except one, and that was Sunday. And I tried to get him to come to church. He had some children. And he'd take them out on the lake every Sunday on the boat. And he said, "Well, I've got to spend time with my family." And you couldn't get him or his children to come to church because he wouldn't let his children come. And he always used the excuse that he wanted to take them out. But the sad part about it was he didn't understand his priorities. I was thinking when Rick was telling me about his grandfather. I sure hope his grandfather's saved. I remember when he came here, I remember God was dealing with his heart. I sure hope and pray that he is. But what's any more important than that? We lose our priorities until we get close and sit at the feet of Jesus. And when we fellowship with him, we begin to realize our priorities. And last but not least, we begin to find ourselves where we can be content. You know how blessed it is to be content and able to just be satisfied and realize that if you lose all this other stuff, you can still be content with the Lord because of who He is.
Amen.
And you know, there's nothing better than finding yourself. And you'll never be able to find yourself until you get next to the Lord. You might see yourself for who you want it to be, but you won't see yourself for who you are until you get close to the Lord. And when you do that, then you can find some contentment, some peace that passes all understanding. You see, Mary, she found that good part. And even though there was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but Martha, it becomes such a burden to her. And here Mary was being blessed because she was able to worship. And how important that is for us in our lives, folks. And I pray and I hope that you can understand and apply that in your lives. Let's pray and then we'll have a song of invitation. Heavenly Father, we pray. Help us, Lord, as we get all so troublesome, as we run here and to and fro, and we get so many things so busy in our life that we forget. And Heavenly Father, help us to draw nigh to you. You promise you'll draw nigh to us. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, where we get anxious, where we get cumbersome about the things that we do. And Heavenly Father, we pray, help us, Lord, to have Mary's spirit and not Martha's spirit. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.